Attention HR professionals. Are you tired of dealing with poor performance from your managers? Are you sick of having managers run to you for every single little problem? Would you like to build the confidence and competence of your management team? If so, then contact Boss Builders. At Boss Builders, we specialize in building up the skills and confidence of your organization's managers. We do this through our popular Driving Results on-site training programs, our signature program, the Video-Driven Boss Builder Academy, and we even license our course materials so you and your internal training staff can get those managers confident and competent. For more information on how we can help you improve the performance of your organization's managers, contact us today at www.thebossbuilders.com or at 931-221-2988. Should the cabin lose pressure, oxygen masks will drop from the overhead area. Please place the mask over your own mouth and nose before assisting others. Hello, and welcome to another episode of the HR Oxygen Podcast, the show focused on the overworked, overwhelmed, and underappreciated HR professional. And now, here is the host of our show, the Boss Builder, Mac Monroe.
The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. What does man gain by all the toil at which he toils under the sun? A generation goes and a generation comes, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises and the sun goes down and hastens to the place where it rises. The wind blows to the north and goes around to the south. Around and around goes the wind, and on its circuits the wind returns. All streams run to the sea, but the sea is not full. To the places where the streams flow, there they flow again. All things are full of weariness. A man can't utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. What has been is what will be, and what has been done is what will be done. And there's nothing new under the sun. Is there a thing of which it is said, see, this is new? It's already been in the ages before us. There is no remembrance of former things, nor will there be any remembrance of later things yet to be among those who come after. Wow, what an inspirational passage from the Bible. If you're not a Sunday school person, that was actually written by King Solomon, who was reported to be the wisest man and one of the richest men ever on the planet. This guy had more stuff than probably anybody you'd ever know. He had a bunch of wives, which I'm not quite sure how that would be a blessing. Might be a little bit more work. But anyway, the guy had an enormous amount of wisdom. And so this passage is taken toward the end of his life when he's kind of reflecting back and thinking, God, you know, all the stuff I've done, yeah, it's just not all that great. Kind of depressing. And the reason I wanted to start this episode of the HR Oxygen podcast with that passage is because I think a lot of people get that same feeling when it comes to career development. If you're an HR professional and you're listening to this today, you might be one of those people that says, man, is this it? Is this all it is? All these new initiatives, all these changes, and yet I don't think I'm going anyplace fast. Well, if you are feeling like you are in career hell right now, then our guest today is going to be somebody I think you'll really, really appreciate. My guest is Mark Myette. Mark is a career coach. Mark is a speaker. Mark is a training executive. I met Mark years ago when I was doing some contract work for a company he worked at, and it was in Georgia, and we sort of stayed in touch through the years. But he does a lot of work now with people who are in this career pattern where they're just not happy. They don't feel like they're growing and going anyplace. And so what he's going to do on his interview with me is he's going to talk about some strategies you can take, including one that sounds a little weird and creepy. It's called career polygamy. But he'll explain what it means, and I think you're going to find some really useful takeaways. So without any further delay, let's meet our special guest, Mark Myette. Mark Myette, welcome to the show.
Mac, a pleasure to be here.
I'm really glad that we could reconnect. I met you, I'm thinking, somewhere between 10 and 12 years ago. You were working at a company that I was doing some contract work with. I think I was teaching a management skills workshop. Mm-hmm. And what I remember about you is that you gave kind of an opening kickoff. I think we would have this particular company have an executive or a senior leader. And I just thought, boy, of all the ones I've heard, and I heard quite a few, you were this amazing motivational speaker. And I think even then I thought, this guy is definitely a lot bigger than the role he's in. And so I've just followed you over the years and seen some of the interesting things that you're doing. And as I thought about our program, I thought Mark is a guy that we definitely have to get on the show. So we're going to spend a lot of time finding out about you and what you do. But before we get to the questions, I want to hear it from you. Tell us about your professional journey.
Well, Mac, you're very kind to say what you said at the start. And I appreciate what you said. And one of my key tenets as I've gone through my own professional journey is that we're all gifts wrapped in flesh, right? So everybody comes to life with different skill sets and nuances. And I'm just intrigued by everyone's wiring. I mean, people can have two kids and they'll behave totally different from the same parents, and which is the very interesting thing. And for me, I'm no different than probably any of the listeners that are that are listening to this podcast, which is, you know, we spend 80,000 hours in a professional journey, and if we're not evolving, then we really should be wrapped up and done, because quite honestly, we're constantly evolving as individuals, as leaders, as individual contributors. And then we get to a certain series of crossroads. And so when you and I met 12 years ago, I was in a professional corporate role. And for the last, now I'll say the last 8 years, I call myself a practicing career polygamist. So I'm an independent business person. So I might be hired as a 1099 to either facilitate leadership programs or to do one-on-one coaching for clients, or to do a hybrid of that. Or I might teach at the local university. I attended Emory University here in Atlanta, where I'm based. Got my MBA there. And so now I teach out of the Adult Education Center, which is an extension of Emory. And then I'm also doing some work with some other folks or independent through my own website. So my journey is probably not unlike a number of people as they go through their corporate roles. They realize over time, it's like, you know what? Been there, done that, got the T-shirt. And what can I do when I, quote, grow up, end quote? And that's what I've been doing, doing a lot of independent work for the last 8 years.
Well, you mentioned something about 80,000. So tell us more about 80,000 and our professional journey.
Well, you know, it's interesting because if you think about it technically, you know, we'll spend 80,000 hours in a professional journey. And the basic rubric to that is 40 hours a week, 50 weeks a year. And so you can do the back of the behind the napkin analysis. And that's about, what, 2,000 hours a year. Multiply that times 10-year increments. So you're up to 20,000 hours for a 10-year increment. And when you're in your, and I break those 80,000 hours or 10-year increments into quarters. And so when you're in your first quarter of your professional journey, no surprise, you've earned a degree. You probably have maybe not graduated at a minimum high school. And so you have to do something. And so your first quarter is all about, you know, identifying a profession, identifying a job, and then getting into accumulation mode where you're trying to accumulate experience, accumulate money, accumulate stuff. And then in your second quarter, you're continuing to graduate through that. And perhaps you might be promoted as a leader. You might be promoted in additional roles, which will also come with that, will be additional income, et cetera, which lines up with your responsibility. And then when you get into your third quarter, that's when you usually start hitting some crossroads where it's like, you know, I've been doing this for 10 years, for 20 years, and you start self-reflecting, like, where do I go from here? So I submit when you get into your third and fourth quarter of your professional journey, if you're not thinking about how to evolve from occupation towards vocation, vocare, calling, then you're gonna, when you get to the 80,000 hour window where you have, you're asked to retire or you have to retire, there are some industries that you're, you actually have to retire when you hit that number of sweet 65. When sometimes people get to that point and they're in retirement, they don't know what to do. So I'm really cognizant of the fact, like if you become more self-aware and you get into your third and fourth quarter, if you're not thinking about how do I evolve my occupation towards a vocation or calling, then you're really going to set yourself up for a frustrating post 80,000 hour journey, which, by the way, I call it overtime. And you know what happens after overtime, Mac, right?
Yeah, you die, right?
Exactly. Sudden death.
Yeah, exactly. Well, let's think about that. I love the analogy of halftime. Does this fall? So if I'm doing the math here, 20s, 30s, 40s, would 40s be right about the time of halftime?
Yep, just about. Yeah, because you're about 20 years out, right? So you're in your mid-40s, and then maybe, you know, you're approaching 50. And that's usually about the halftime period. So in the 40s, yep, you're halftime.
Well, this I guess, is when people would kind of have that classic midlife crisis, which, you know, I can't speak for that because I'm nowhere near 50. don't look at the photo on my bio. That's, yeah, it's different. But this is when you see, I guess I would say, some contemporaries, right? You're to the point where a lot of things aren't making sense. Your kids are ready to leave the nest.
Yeah.
You suddenly realize this career isn't what I thought it was going to be. And there's a lot of anxiety. And so it seems like it's the perfect storm. And then after that, if you don't get it right, you've got the rest of your life to try to figure out. And I have seen way too many people struggle with that.
Yeah.
Are these, when you look at your practice marker, where do you see most of the people coming to you for help? Is it in that zone or is it before that?
It's usually, I'll have outliers, Mac, where there will be someone that's in their 20s, late 20s, where they're hitting a cross, I call it a crossroad, where they, you know, they got their degree, they started doing what they studied for, and then they realize this isn't what it's chalked up to be, which is no surprise that the number one industry or number one profession that people pivot out of, which isn't a bad profession to pivot out of, by the way, is law. Mm-hmm. There are more attorneys leaving law every year than any other profession. And you think about the investment of time and financial resources to earn a law degree and then to do it. And then all of a sudden to say, you know, I'm not interested in pursuing this anymore. It's great, though, because it has a great foundational backing that will allow someone to pivot. But usually, to your point, to your initial question, I usually will see someone at a crossroads that's in their mid, I call it the halftime or even third quarter. So I could tell that it just by their resume and their background, yeah, you're probably 40-something. And it's usually then that people begin to realize, you know, I have all the stuff. Or I have, you know, the stuff. And then they start realizing, you know, stuff is not as important as what I'm feeling inside. And that's where they start really paying attention to that.
Is there a perfect time for somebody to see you? I mean, would it be like in a perfect world, I would come as soon as I graduated college and sit down with you to map the journey?
You know, I would love to think that somebody that had that foresight. But you know, it's almost like raising teenagers, right? So when you have a conversation with your teenager, and I can say that because I have a 15 and 16 year old, and the conversations that you have with a teenager don't really resonate. Now I'm anticipating, and I've heard from other parents, when teenagers no longer are teenagers, they get in their 20s and 30s and they become adults and they become people, more mature with context, experience, whether it's personal or professional, all of a sudden things that you said to them really start to resonate, or things that they're willing to share, or they're willing to become more self-aware about, really start to bubble to the top.
I'm just thinking, because we're a little bit ahead of you there. Ours have left the nest. One's in college and one's, you know, graduated a couple of years ago, but suddenly we seem very wise to them. But when they were growing up, we were the dumbest parents on the planet. So I'm just thinking it would be,
I would think, and we discovered this too, is that, you know, I could tell them something and they wouldn't listen. The next door neighbor would say the same thing and they had this brand new insight. So it seems like sending your young adults to a guy like Mark might be a good plan for you, because he'll probably tell them the things you've been trying to get across for some reason. Mark is just a guru of career stuff.
Or just like sometimes people just need, to your point, they just need an objective sounding board, right? And whether somebody's at that crossroad, usually when somebody's really frustrated or they're really feeling conflict internally, sometimes just having a conversation with somebody and beginning to connect the dots internally to say, well, this might be explain one of the reasons why you feel frustrated. Have you ever thought of this? Have you ever thought of that? And all of a sudden, having that mechanism by which you can have that conversation ideally starts to activate, I call it clarity, so that you can move beyond where you are now and start aiming yourself in a way that's going to have exponential results.
Well, that assumes then if we build it right, we will get ourselves on a really good path, a career development path. And you know, we talked before we went on the podcast about some work that we'd done mutually, which is outplacement. And I don't know what your experience has been. It's probably been similar. I saw people, of course, it was during the Great Recession, which really threw a monkey wrench in most everybody's plans. But there was a significant amount of people that had been at a company 25, 30 years and were just completely invested, every part of them. They're the ideal employee. They're the ones that think about work when they should be with their family. They're the most dedicated workers. And then through no fault of their own, they, along with a huge division of people, and I don't know if you saw this too, we'd see people that didn't even get a notification. They just couldn't log into their computer that morning. And when they went to IT, it's like, oh, you didn't hear? And then, so we pick up, I know you've probably done it too. We pick up the pieces where they ask us, how could this happen to me? I was the best employee. And they said it was a business decision. So it's, Mark, like there's an unhealthy side of this is when we find the path, can we find a way off it if it suddenly hits a dead end? Have you seen anything and have anything to share with that? Because I'm thinking some of our audience may be having to deal with having conversations with employees.
Right. Well, remember I was talking about, you know, the 80,000 hour journey and that process of evolution, that if we as individuals are not evolving, then there's something terribly wrong. And the same is true with the healthy companies that are still viable. The healthy companies are in constant evolution. And for some who's leading that or part of the transformation, you know, I put transformation in air quotes, that can be very draining. But that's the way that businesses will need to continue to be viable, is they're constantly needing to evolve. And no surprise, we see it, Mac, now with the research and the impact of artificial intelligence, where you might hear that, you know, 30, 40% of all jobs as we know them today in 10, 15 years will no longer be in existence. That's a lot of people that are about to get smacked over the next 10 or 15 years, where professions totally either go away or they just change dramatically. And somebody wakes up and they may not have the skill set, they may not have the motivation to be current, or they may not have the wherewithal to be current. And that's really where they need to be able to reach out, whether it's to somebody like yourself or somebody like myself, or there are a lot of faith-based groups out there that do work with people in career transition, like crossroadscareers.org is a great website I refer people to, which helps people begin to navigate that. So it's pretty daunting. As I mentioned, I live in the Atlanta area, and there's a group, faith-based group that does every other Mondays. They'll do they have a career ministry as part of their mission. And they will literally have, because we've heard, and this is, you know, today when we're recording this, Mac, you know, our national unemployment rate is at record lows, right? They will have 200 to 300 people showing up every other week. And you say, well, the economy's so great.
Goodness.
How come there's still 200 to 300 people showing up every other week to their career ministry? And there's this there's an undercurrent. There's a whole group of folks that are just in upheaval, as evidenced by the sheer numbers of people that are showing up at their ministry. And so even though the unemployment may be, quote, low and record low, there's just a huge amount of people that are literally at that crossroad, whether it's their decision or somebody else's.
Well, let's take a look at the other piece of employment. So we've talked about the person that's happy on a great direction and suddenly they hit the roadblock. What about the rest of the world that is in a job where they are overwhelmed, overstressed, overworked, underappreciated? How do you work with people that present with that? They have a job, they've got security, and yet they're stressed, they're miserable.
Yeah. And at that point, usually that's where there are certain assessments that that people can do to help them begin to understand their wiring. Because as I mentioned at the top of the podcast, the great thing is we're all gifts wrapped in flesh. The challenge is we're all wired so different. And although assessments will put you into a quadrant, whether it's Myers-Briggs, Clifton Strengths, DISC, whatever the assessment is, they'll generally start putting you in certain quadrants or different parts of certain themes, et cetera. That's really important because that's whatever the assessment is, it's usually, I share it is with my clients, it's usually a good indicator. So chances are if you're truly leaning in on your talents and ideally strengths, and they are present in your day-to-day work life, chances are you'll find yourself really loving what you do. It's those environments where people are not able to lean in on their talents or strengths, or they're not able to demonstrate them or practice them on a regular basis. They feel frustrated. They feel overwhelmed. They're not able to kind of get into a situation where they're, quote, in their groove. And so the opportunity there is to take a step back from all of that and really through reflection, self-awareness, and maybe some assessments to help you figure that out, is to help you understand what your wiring is. And then it's from there is to be able to connect the dots behind the scenes. Now that's all great. And someone's listening to this to say, well, Mark, that sounds easy for you to say. And I'll share with everybody. I mean, I went through the same transition probably that many people you have to actually go through, is you have to spend time in the desert before you actually come out of it. And whether it's self-imposed or somebody imposed it upon you, but it's usually in those situations that you're given an opportunity to take a step back from your existence and say, really start doing self-assessment, self-appraisal. That's when you can really start to figure out, all right, how am I going to aim myself in a way that I'll no longer feel stress? Or, you know, not to say that you'll never feel stress, because that's not real, but healthy stress, right? Stress in short spurts is great, but an ongoing basis onslaught of stress that can be really undermining to your health and to your mental state. But if you can find yourself in that sweet spot, that's really what you should be aspiring to. So for those that are listening that are feel overworked or heaven forbid, burnt out, your body's and your mind is telling you something that you need to pay attention to.
Well, you know, as you were talking, I was thinking about that. So my Myers-Briggs preference is INFP. And so I did 15 years in the Navy. Yep. And I kind of knew the day I stepped off the bus at boot camp, I made a big mistake. And through a series of events, 15 years came and went, and I finally walked at 15. But what I remember is I was sick all the time. I mean, just constantly. And once I left and started doing what I do today, first of all, I cannot tell you a time I had to cancel something because I was sick. It just doesn't happen. And mind you, I'm older now and probably in worse health than when I was a younger man. But I think what it was is I was in a world of rules, standard operating procedures, no room for questioning, and my preference is for curiosity and big picture ideas and no, you know, adherence to somebody else's deadlines. And I can tell you, I mean, I do experience stress, but it's not that just killer stress that, you know, you wake up on a Monday morning and you pray you have diarrhea so you don't have to go to work. It's not that kind of misery,
right?
You know.
Yeah.
So let's talk about those assessments. You mentioned a few that I've heard of. I've done a fair amount of work with Myers-Briggs. I'm familiar with some of the other ones. Which are some of the ones that you use, Mark, and how do they differ?
The ones that are very good at helping people discern your wiring are the ones I mentioned, which is Myers-Briggs. It's an indicator about your personality. Facet 5 is another personality-based type assessment. Strengths Finders, also known as Clifton Strengths now. And then also you'll have like... if you're a leader of a team or you're of a group, you'll have things like Hogan. Hogan leader focus is a assessment that helps you understand how do you show up as a leader. Any number of those assessments are very good. I'll point people to my website, and I have a blog that talks about. A series of articles I did on assessments. And if somebody's really curious, I mean, because there are hundreds and hundreds of different types of assessments. And the ones I mentioned are my usual go-to, but I will say that if somebody has another assessment that they've done, it's probably valid. And the way to look at assessments is assessments are kind of like running with scissors. You got to be careful with them, right? So you got to be careful, A, how you interpret it. So having somebody that's certified in that assessment to help you unpack it is good. And then the other thing about assessments is that they're indicators. There's no one assessment that's going to be 100% accurate. But if you have three or four that you've done in your professional journey and they have similar themes or similar stressors that come out of it that say, in a good environment, this is how you behave. These are some of your stressors. This is how other people perceive you. This is how you filter your world. Whatever they're trying to assess, ideally you want to pick up on a theme and you want to pick up on a pattern. And it's the unpacking of that pattern and that mosaic that you can benefit from to say, okay, let me take a step back from me, have an out-of-body experience, and that's where a coach comes in or some sort of outside resource where they can help me begin to process this so I can aim it in a way that's beneficial.
Okay. Well, your website you mentioned a moment ago is called whatareyourgifts.com. So is this a spiritual
thing?
Yeah,
I mean, it is interesting because it is what it is. I do have a faith. I'm a practicing Presbyterian in Atlanta, although I grew up Catholic. It is secular. Because you can be a gift in a secular context. You can also, some people will view some of the gifts as spiritually given, etc. So it is, in my mind, you know, whatever your perspective is, that's how you can filter it, both from a secular context or a spiritual context. But I do believe at the core, though, we all have certain attributes that are natural to us. And whether it's a God-given gift or it's something that's natural, it's all about the receiver. And good examples of that might be somebody that's a musical savant, right? And no one in their family plays any musical instruments. And yet this person's like this musical savant, or they're this fantastic singer, or they're this fantastic artist, or they're really good at a particular skill. And none of their family members share that same level of talent. And that's why I like to say that we're just so nuanced that you have to be able to figure out what that is, and then really start to lean in on that and figure out, all right, how do I show up now, or how do I apply this in a way that's meaningful? Which, by the way, Mac, brings me to a point that I just want to also make sure that people understand. If people are listening to this and they've all of their life have been in a corporate role, I don't want you to walk away from this podcast thinking, oh, Mark's suggesting you need to like leave corporate America and do your own thing. No, because that's also a wiring thing too. But I will share that there is something that gets in people's way and prevents them from actually investigating that, and that's fear. And I like to use fear also as an acronym, which is false evidence appearing real. if you're at a crossroad and somebody, and you know, it might be in your best interest to just figure out if you're a corporate hostage or refugee, whatever your situation might be, is you might benefit from having conversations with people that can help you figure out, like, what's my next phase, or what can I do, or how do I pivot? And they can help you begin to figure that stuff out so you get some clarity. And it may end up being that you'll end up in a different corporate role, or you might join a boutique where they are an outside resource to the area that you came from, your profession you came from. So you can still do that, but you might be able to do it in a nuanced way.
Well, this seems like probably an inappropriate question after we talked about spiritual things, but I want to go back to something you said in the introduction, and that was about career polygamy. So I'm kind of curious about that in a very weird way. Please explain.
And the keyword career polygamy. And for me, I jokingly say to somebody, I'm a practicing career polygamist, and with emphasis on the word career. And what I'm doing now is I just have, you know, multiple streams of income. So I mentioned I've got teenagers, so they got college coming up. They've got some life support issues I'll probably need to be supportive of. So I still need to be financially viable. And so how I do that is I do it in a more independent way. So I'm a 1099 with a number of consulting firms. I'm also a teacher / facilitator. I call myself a leadership curator, like curating art pieces in a museum. I curate through a local university in Atlanta called Emory University at their continuing adult education center. So I do stuff like that, and I do some things one-on-one with individuals that are at the crossroads. So if I take all of those revenue streams together, it's like an investment portfolio. There will be some investments that are going to be more productive financially. And then when one gets a little bit less active, then another one kicks in. So these multiple streams keep me viable financially.
Yeah, so it's almost like you couldn't just automatically trade a corporate position and say, hey, I'm going to start my business. I mean, you could, depends on what you do, but it sounds like you've done maybe a little bit of what I've done too. You start out doing a number of things. And then for me, I've just narrowed it down to one finally, but sounds like, I think you mentioned your Myers-Briggs preference is ENFP.
Yes.
So very much an NFP perspective on that. Let's just see what happens next. I'm sure it'll be exciting. So, so before I let you tell us how to get a hold of you, I think I have a new nickname for you, and it's hitting me because at the time of this podcast, we're in just early June of 2019. We're just coming off the climbing season at Mount Everest, which just happened to be a horrific one with 11 climbers dying on this mountain. But the one thing I hear when I read the accounts is that the Sherpas, the folks from Nepal, whose role it is to guide you up the mountain, they are the lifesavers. And everything you've talked about in our time together today, I see you as that Sherpa. You're there to take us from the beginning of the journey at the bottom of the mountain, and then you're there at the top when we're running out of oxygen and we can't see, and here comes Mark to guide us. So you are the career polygamist Sherpa. That's well, we won't put the career polygamist in your brand, but I think, you know, on a serious note, I think we all need that. We need somebody who can show us the way. And that said, Mark, how can our audience connect with you so that you can guide them?
Well, you are kind, and I made note of that career polygamist Sherpa. I take that as a compliment. Thank you very much for that. Appreciate it. The easiest way is through my website is whatareyourgifts.com, and then go to contact, and then you can put your information in and you can get me there. You can also, if you want, you just Google Mark, M-A-R-K, Myett, M-Y-E-T-T-E. I've been in contact with Google, and they can assure me that my LinkedIn profile will show up on the first page of that search. And you can get me that way as well.
Wonderful. Well, Mark, I appreciate you taking time out of your busy day to share your wisdom and experience with all of our audience. I know that everybody can benefit. So best of luck as you guide all of us to our ultimate perfect destination.
And Mac, it's a pleasure. And thank you for what you do, because you're providing a great service to your listeners and to those out in the corporate world and beyond. So thank you to you for the time today.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the HR Oxygen Podcast. We hope you found something today that will relieve your stress, feed your soul, and pump you up to face another day. At Boss Builders, we want to let you know that we appreciate the hard work you do every day as an HR professional. And, as a reminder, always make sure to adjust your own oxygen mask before attempting to help those around you. Be well.